Welcome to A Voice of a People, here live with Linda Sims on WGH Talk. How you doing today, this second hour? Today is August the 10th of 2023. 221 days have passed and there remain 144 days. You still have time to squeeze in that summer vacation. Summer's almost over, everyone. We're on the second half of the year already. Welcome once again. Yes, I need to share some things with you before I turn my attention to my guest today. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. Type in the address in your Google bar. Scroll down to the black bar that says WWGH and click on the white arrow, and the show is live, and you can listen to us on your laptop or on your phone. We also have this opportunity for you. Download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device. Once you type in TuneIn or find that in your app store or go to your Play Store, download it. Once it's downloaded, open it up. Type in the search bar WWGH. Another opportunity you have is to call in during a live broadcast, and this is a live broadcast, by calling 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist LLC of 1325 North Main Street of Marion, Ohio. Phone there is 740-382-8552. We have Logos Christian Ministries. Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement. Free produce every third Saturday of every month at the Logos Ministries address. This takes place August the 19th. It begins at 12 noon until 2 p.m. Also, on this date, they will be having a school giveaway. Also, a health fair that will be sponsored by Ohio Health. And they also, this will be the groundbreaking of their new, it's not a facility, but it's an addition to the church. It's a wellness, fitness, walk area. Okay, so they will be having a lot of things going on August the 19th. So share this information with those you know who may be in need of some of these things or would just like to be a part of the Wellness Fitness Walk. We also have Cheryl Lee, coordinator for Child Evangelism Fellowship, known as the Good News Clubs, which is a faith-based after-school program located in all Marion City and Marion County schools, along with North Union City and County Elementary Schools. Cheryl Lee can be contacted at 740-262-0939. And they are getting ready for open house. And if you're interested in your students being a part of this program, when you go to open house, there will be teachers there with registration forms that you can fill out for your students. After that, they will be located in your students' schools' offices. So hopefully, you will take advantage of this and share this news with other families as well. Again, Cheryl Lee's phone number is 740-262-0939. And I would also like to give my condolences to the Ricus Miles family. Ricus Miles used to come on my show a lot. And I thought that he was just a very intelligent young man, full of life, full of hope, and great expectations for his future. And unfortunately, his life was cut short at the age of 41. Please lift up prayers for this family. For he was a young man. To lose your life at 41, you're still a young man. Anyone that knows this family, and if you don't know him, have compassion on them and lift up their names to the Lord, that they may be comforted during this time. And maybe you can find on Facebook a way that you can help out the family. They have a GoFundMe page on Facebook. They really covet our love and prayers and support during this time of their bereavement. Okay, I have a thought for today, and it's titled Solutions to Problems. Here we go. Solutions to problems. In order to find solutions to problems, it is important to improve the quality of my thinking. I need to calm my mind by creating peaceful thoughts. The first thing that follows is that problems stop affecting me. I am able to think more clearly, which brings about a solution. Hopefully that thought for today can help you, and you can share that with someone else. Now I will turn my attention to my guest today, Dan Stahl. How are you doing today, Dan?
Fine, thank you. And you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Trying to get a little air in this tight, humid place, but I'm doing okay. Good to see you.
Likewise. Nice to see you again.
Thank you. So what you got for us today, Dan? I know you have a lot about history and marrying, and your family was a great part of that.
Yes, going back to the early 1800s, well, 1830s, 40s, my great-grandparents, the Smelters, came over from Germany, and actually they landed in Pennsylvania, but eventually settled here in Marion, Ohio. And those of you listening that are familiar with Smelter Road, that's where they settled. They were the settlers of that, and that's why the road, of course, is named after them. And they had land that bordered the Barks property on the north and in the east. And to the west, it bordered the Chrissinger family, which Chrissinger Road is named after.
Right.
So they had a considerable, and as far south, I'm not real sure how far that they went in that direction, but they had a considerable amount of land at that time. And were very instrumental in things that took place at that time here in Marion. They were very religious people, and they were part of the founders of Calvary Church downtown. In fact, when my grandmother Smelter married one of the Stahl boys, there were a number of ministers in the Stahl family at that time, a Reverend John and a Reverend Daniel. And that's how I came about later on. My grandmother Smelter, there were four Smelter girls, married one of the Stahl boys. There were two Stahl boys. And they had a grocery store downtown at 132 South Main Street. And that's how the Stahl family here in Marion, well, the Stahls had also came over from Germany and landed in Pennsylvania and eventually in Marion, Ohio. And that's how they all got together in the end. And then my father, Leroy Stahl, was, of course, the child of one of the children. He had two sisters, Donna and Ruth, and he was involved with the Ohio Edison Company. It was the Scioto Power Plant back in those days, and then later became Ohio Edison. He was an engineer with a civil and electrical engineer with the Scioto Power Plant. And he met my mother, who was Viola Kennedy, And they, again, the Kennedys had come to the United States, and they also landed in Pennsylvania. They came over from Ireland and Scotland,
mm-hmm.
And also from England. So I have a mixture of Dutch, Swiss, German on one side of the family, and English, Welsh, Irish, and Scottish on the other.
Okay.
So it's quite a mixture. But when my father met my mother, of course, then I came along, and I was the only child. But his getting back to his sisters, it was very sad. But they both passed at 21 years of age.
Really?
Ruth was in nurses training in Chicago, and she passed away from typhoid. And then the other, Donna, was here at National City Bank in Marion and died of peritonitis.
What was that? What type of disease was that?
Burst appendix.
Peritonitis. My. Okay.
And, you know, both of those things that took place back then, you don't hear that much about it today.
No.
But back then, it was an issue. Well, Donna was she went to Harding High School and was a classmate of Nan Britton.
Okay.
And then my grandpa Kennedy went to Ohio Central College over in Iberia. Believe it or not, there was a college over there at that time.
Okay.
And he and Warren, that's where Warren Harding went. And they were college buddies over there. My cousin had some of the textbooks that they shared.
Okay.
So we know they were close enough that they shared textbooks.
Okay.
But there's nobody around now to tell us what else might have happened, you know,
right.
During that period of time. Well, Harding then came back to Marion, or the Marion area, to teach school mm-hmm. for a couple of years. And I guess he wasn't very fond of that. So then he got involved with the Marion Star.
Okay.
And my grandpa Kennedy went on to Ohio Northern and got another degree. He had his teaching degree from Ohio Central in Iberia, and then he went to Ohio Northern and got his music degree. And he went to the Plains down near Athens and taught school for many years. In fact, my mother graduated from the Plains High School, where
okay.
Joe Burrow is,
right.
or was a student and graduated from back then.
Now that... You said Nan Britton?
Nan Britton, which, you know, was...
I know her name sounds familiar. I just can't remember her story.
Well, she was the mother of President Harding's child.
Okay. All right. That's where I know that name from.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was he married then? When
he was married to Florence.
He was? Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. I knew that name.
little bit of, the Harding background and history, and of course, most of the listeners I think are familiar with the fact that
probably now, yes,
yes, that there's the grandson of Harding has become well known
mm-hmm,
as a
mm-hmm.
result of that relationship.
Right, right.
I had a couple of, actually, my dad's cousins that were single.
Mm-hmm.
They never married. And since I was an only child, they kind of catered to me, you know, clear up until late in their lives. And they had received a wooden box that was... given to them from Reverend John and Reverend Daniel Stahl, who were both in the Civil War. And the wooden box on the inside, there's a note attached that said that the wood from this box was made from Abraham Lincoln's private railroad car.
Wow.
And I have that in my possession today.
Oh, really? Okay.
And it's been an interesting journey on trying to prove the authenticity of this piece. I had for some time just stored the box and trying to figure out, you know, how am I going to prove the authenticity of this piece. Well, when I was working at Fairfield Engineering, the president at that time, we had just completed an order in the Baltimore, Washington area, and he said, "I'm going to need your assistance from an engineering standpoint to help me close the deal." And he said, "You need to go with me." And so, to make a long story short, we went to Washington. Well, his former college sweetheart was George Bush's secretary.
Okay.
And he said, "Would you like to have a tour of the White House?" And I said, "Yeah, I was there as a kid." But and he says, "Well, this is not like the tour you had then."
Okay.
Well, we wound up in George Bush's office with her, and she showed me things that the average citizen does not get to see,
mm-hmm.
which was very interesting. Well, during the course of our conversation, I told her I had this piece, and I asked her if she had any connections at the Smithsonian. She says, "No, I don't." But she said, George Bush's VP, which was Dan Quayle at mm-hmm. that time, said Dan has a connection, a good friend of his, who is the most avid Lincoln collector in the world. And she said, "That's Ken Kirchhoffel."
Right.
And Ken Kirchhoffel was the Cliff Barnes character on the Dallas series. And she said, "Why don't you give me your number and I'll have him call you?" And I thought, well, that's the end of that. I won't hear anything. Well, to my surprise, he did contact me.
Okay.
And I told him, you know, what I had, and he said, "Do you ever get out to Los Angeles?" And I said, "I do a couple times a year because we have some business activity out there." And he said, "Well, if we can work it out," and he says, "if I'm not involved in the middle of filming the Dallas episode," he said, "I'll have you to the house and show you my collection, and we'll talk about how we can try to prove the authenticity of your piece."
Right.
Which I thought was very generous of him. Well, to make a long story short, he called me, like I said, and everything fell into place. I wound up going out there on a job when he was able to meet with me. I went to his home there in Beverly Hills.
Okay.
And got to see his collection, and he had the inkwell and pen that Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation with, which I thought was very interesting.
That is interesting.
I mean, it doesn't get any bigger than that.
Right.
and then we discussed my piece, and he said, "You're trying to, of course, do something very difficult. Unless you can find another item that came out of that car that was known to have come out and proven," he said, "you're going to have a tough time to do it." But he said, "What you need to do is get proof of ownership."
Mm-hmm.
Well, that goes back to the ladies, my dad's cousins. He said, "Have them write you a letter that they're giving that to you and what they know about it."
Right.
Which they did. And I have, of course, that in my possession. He says, "Then, you know, you can take that information and go to auction houses and so forth and go from there." So I'm at that point now. I put that on the shelf, you know, for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And now that I have time to devote to research on that, I've started doing that again.
Well, that's good.
And we had another relative, a Dr. Daniel Stahl, again, the same name, which is a cousin of mine.
Okay.
Very intelligent person. He wound up graduating from Johns Hopkins University with a doctor's degree in chemical engineering, and he was one of the founders of Styrofoam. Eventually, when he went to Dow Chemical.
Isn't that something?
So some of our relatives have
Styrofoam
have done well, you know.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. some tragedy and then also some good things.
Yes, yes. Connected. That's in every family, though.
Oh, that's true.
A tragedy, yes. Especially. Yeah. Sure is. You have so much. Your family was just...
Well, it's like we were kind of blessed with some events that...
And like very educated-minded, too,
in addition
you know?
To the tragedy that had taken place with the sisters of my father.
Right.
We were also blessed with some other things that have been objects of discussion. Mm-hmm. And going back to our history here in the area, I've been doing some research on the, on both families, Stahl and Kennedy, and the spelling in Germany. I went back as far as I could, and it was in the late 1600s. It was Hans Stahl was the relative. That's where things kind of came to an end. I mean, I haven't been able to find anything beyond that. But the spelling back then was S-T-O-L-L. And when they came over here, it changed to S-T-U. They changed it to S-T-U-L-L. Mm-hmm. But it's the same...
pronunciation.
Know. Yes.
Okay.
And on the Kennedy side, I found that to be quite interesting in that one of my cousins... obviously on the Kennedy side, has the look of some of the Kennedy boys.
Really?
So I thought, well, it might be interesting to look in that direction to see what I can find out.
Right.
So far, I've not found a direct connection, and I'm going to turn it over to somebody that's a professional at that and let them see what they can find.
But that's a good idea.
What I did find out was that great-grandpa number 7 was Sir John Kennedy, and I don't know how he became...
Sir John?
How he obtained the title of Sir.
Right.
And I went back as far as I could to what they have, what I found to be Papa Kennedy. And it said mother unknown, father unknown. So I thought, well, this is the end of the road.
Wow.
On that particular person. And I looked at the two wives that he had. I thought, well, I'll research them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first wife had passed, I think, at a young age. And... the second wife that he married was married to Sir David Kennedy, who was knighted by King James IV of Scotland, and they were both killed in a battle. And then when she was widowed, she married great-grandpa number 10.
Mm-hmm.
So that's as far as I've been able to go with that. But it was kind of interesting, you know, some of the events that took place that I was able to discover in that process.
That's exciting, though, isn't it?
It is, and I'm anxious to see what else is involved, you know, because I want someone that's more or less a professional at doing this to confirm everything I've found so far, and then hopefully add something to it that I've not been able to discover.
They're good at it, I know.
Oh, yes, a lot of them do that for a living.
Yes.
They're very good at it.
And they can come up with some great results.
Everything that I have researched so far, I haven't paid anything for. I've done the research that's free and available to us.
Right, right.
So I'm anxious to see, you know, what else we might find out. But I did find out a little bit when going to great-grandpa number 7, Sir John Kennedy, he was born in a castle. Mm. I found that out.
Okay.
And the problem with that, and I think this probably goes back to why great-grandpa number 10, they said mother unknown, father unknown. There were so many people that when they were born in mm-hmm. these castles, like the article said, they mingled.
Right.
And they don't think they knew whose kids were who half the time.
That's I never thought about that.
They got a little messy, you know.
I guess so.
So I got a laugh out of that.
Yeah,
you know,
I bet.
When I discovered that.
I never thought about that.
Yeah, because those castles were rather large, and you had, I don't know how many families that were in there.
I never even thought of that either.
And it was the way they phrased it, I got a laugh out of it. It said they mingled. You know?
Never know who's going to be next, right?
That's for sure.
So I never thought about that. You think about a palace, and some of them have like 12 bedrooms. You know, like they're just humongous. Who all slept in those rooms, you know?
I was able to find a few pictures in some of the information I researched. And I mean, these places, they were true castles. They were huge.
Yeah.
They would make some of our hotels look like, you know, nothing.
Right, right. That's something. Wow. Okay, mingling.
That's a nice way of saying
it. Yes, it is. Very nice. Boy. All right. So what else you find out over there, your family?
Well, that's pretty much the bulk of, you know, in an outline form. We had some of the stalls married some of the Zachman, or one in one particular case, the Zachman or Zachman, however you want to pronounce it, mm-hmm. family here in Marion. And I went to, they invited me to their reunion a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
I went to because it was the brother of my grandfather that married a Zachman girl, mm-hmm. or Zachman girl. And they were back in the early days, they were a prominent family here in the area. They had the dairy out by where Marion Catholic School is,
right.
Or was. The building's still there, but it's a different learning institution now. And my father and the Zachman boy were best buddies. They grew up together. And then our families became very close. And then, of course, we were tied together through that marriage of the one Stahl brother marrying into that Zachman family.
Okay.
And if you know where, obviously, where the school was located out there, that farmland they had from Mount Vernon Avenue clear over to Barks Road, they had all of that.
Really?
And they, of course, developed it later. It was farmland to start with.
Right.
And then they later, you know, sold it off and developed it. But I can remember back when I was quite small, we would go out there with the families being so close. We would take vacations together, and we would go out to the farm there frequently, and we would hook a sled up to the horse.
Mm-hmm.
They had one horse, and we'd go down through the field there where McDaniel Motors and some of those businesses are.
Right.
And then clear back into the woods, we would go with the sled.
Mm.
Just things like that.
It's hard to believe that was all farmland.
Yeah, that people, I'm sure, don't know about today.
Probably don't.
And it was a good place for hunting pheasants and rabbits, that sort of thing, because my dad was always they would go hunting out there and bringing home a pheasant or
now what
rabbit.
Year was this?
This would have been in the late 40s, okay. Early 50s.
Okay.
And one of my dad's best friends that was best friend in high school, a fellow named Wilbert Snyder, and Wilbert was a very brilliant man. He worked for the Bureau of Standards in Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. and developed a lot of standards that we know as we know today. And he would come back every year, and they would go just to go hunting, and he would stay at our house, and mm-hmm. they would all go hunting out there.
Okay.
And then the Harvey Zachman, who was the father of my father's best friend, they had a huge home, which later became the Strelitz Mansion, there where Vanover Apartments are today. That used to be, the 50 carryouts right in front of it.
Okay.
At the corner of Merchant and Route 95.
Right.
There was a huge home back there, and if you look, I know that there are pictures of it around at the historical building. It was a true mansion, and when things got financially rough, there in the 30s, they sold that to the Strelitz family. And the Strelitz family, he was a wealthy attorney that moved here from New York.
Okay.
And his wife and daughter were on that one ship that went down.
What, the Titanic?
It was either that one or I'm not real sure, mm-hmm. but they were survivors of that.
Survivors?
They both survived.
Well, praise God for that.
Yes. So that's, that's taking the family history back with, some of their connections. It wasn't all blood related, but, mm-hmm. through marriage and so forth.
Right.
Had some interesting experiences and stories that came out of that.
That's great. Wow. Survivors of a ship going down.
Yeah.
Wow, that's beautiful.
They were very, very blessed, very fortunate to have survived that.
I'd say so. Wow. So there was a true mansion on 95 right in Merchant Avenue.
Yes. It was set back. It was on the northwest corner, mm-hmm. there, where the apartments are today. But it was a true mansion, and they would have, I guess, back in the day, they would have elaborate parties and so forth.
Wow.
Like yard parties or garden parties, if you want to call it that.
I wish I could have saw that.
Well, there are some pictures around.
Pictures of it, okay.
Up at the
historical
museum that depict that.
So, home. The only thing we have close to that now is the Huber Building up on Church and Greenwood.
Yes, and I was just through that recently because I'm on the board.
Are you?
Huber Museum.
Okay. So it's a museum now?
The home is a home/museum, but the museum that I'm involved with is the one at the fairgrounds, the Huber Museum.
Okay.
It has the equipment, the old Huber tractors, rollers, graders,
okay.
and so forth. And now they are acquiring a lot of items from the Marion Power Shovel as people are passing on and they have no one to leave their items to their
right. That's history,
to the
right?
Museum up
right,
there.
Right.
And they, since a lot of the people are gone from here, either have relocated or passed on or whatever that were connected with the shovel. They and since I'm was a former employee there in the engineering department and sales. Asked me to come on board, which I did, and of course we have a video of the space crawler that Marion Power Shovel engineered and made, fabricated. And it's well worth your time to go up there and view a lot of the things they have and watch that video. But Marion can be very proud of that accomplishment. That crawler frame came off of one of the largest shovels in the world that was ever made. And then they tweaked the design of it. They had a real sharp engineer there that worked on it. He was a MIT grad. Very, very sharp.
Okay.
And he was responsible for the development of that, even though the bulk of it had been developed for the largest shovel in the world, which I had the opportunity of running tests on when I was in the research and development department, because we had to run tests on the equipment to make sure that it had been properly engineered as far as the loads and so forth that the steel members were carrying. And it helped us in future design for equipment that hadn't been designed yet that was coming down the pike there later on. And to make sure that if it was under-designed, we had to do something to make it acceptable.
Right, right.
And safe. But they have me share a lot of my stories with groups that come through there on tour. And also from both the Ohio State University and Marion Tech, they bring some of their engineering classes through there. So that's been very
interesting.
That's
great. Yes.
I've enjoyed that.
I'm sure you have.
Sharing my experiences and knowledge of the equipment with them.
Wow.
In fact, I wrote an article. We have like a newsletter that goes out around the world from the museum, because you'd be surprised how many people from around the world come there when they're in the area to see things. And the article was, it involved one of the astronauts. It was Don Eisley. No relation to the Eisleys here, because he spelled his name E-I-S-E-L-E.
Okay.
Don was from Columbus, Ohio, and was a graduate of Columbus West, and he was also a graduate of the Air Force Academy, and then he got into the space program. And he was the pilot on Apollo 7. And I met Don after he retired from the space program, was a sales manager for Marion Power Shovel, one of the many sales managers they had. And they brought him around and introduced him to everybody. So
right.
I had the opportunity to meet and talk with him a little
bit.
Very interesting guy. But the Ed Huber found that fascinating when I shared that story with him. So he says, why don't you write an article, which I did, and then it wound up in our newsletter that goes all over.
Great.
So that's been an interesting experience for me.
A great experience for you this time of your life and all the history that you have embedded in you. Yes.
And I'm really pleased that they have asked me to do that. And it keeps me, my memory retrieving some of this stuff. I don't know how long that's going to last. But
so enjoy it while I have it, right?
While it's there, let's make the most of it. You know?
Right. Of course, right. That's great, though. I bet you would have never thought of that.
No.
For your later years in life, you know.
Exactly, because, well, a lot of people are, with, like I said, people passing on that have worked at some of these places, and those of us that are still around, I'm surprised of the interest that's been expressed by many people in some of the, and a lot of them are younger people too.
Right.
Particularly some of the ones from OSU and Marion Tech, some of those classes there that they brought out. Been very interested in some of the things that we used to do, the tests that we used to run and so forth. And back then, OSHA was not active as they are today. We had no safety harness or anything. Mm-hmm. We go out on these 300-foot booms and run our tests and without any protection whatsoever.
300 feet high?
well, the booms on some of the largest shovels and drag lines were the length of a football field. Mm. And it would be raised up to about a 40-degree angle. Mm. So you were a couple hundred feet off the ground.
Right.
You know, when you were up there.
That's still up there.
Yeah.
Quite a ways. Without any safety. No nets up under you or anything, right?
Nothing, yeah. And, of course, when I was doing that, I was fresh out of college. Mm-hmm. And I'm in the 24, 25, 26-year-old age bracket. And I was in good physical shape and was basically fearless, which at
I'm
that
sure.
age, you know, sometimes
that goes with the age.
They're like that. I don't know why, but it just kind of went with the territory.
No fear. That's
no
what
fear.
That is.
Yeah.
No fear. Not like we do now. Wouldn't do it now, but.
Well, I know what would happen today. OSHA would be on that like, first of all, they'd close the mine down, and then they would throw us off the site. That's the way that would work.
Wow. Wow. You've had some great experiences, Dan. Really great.
I have. I've been blessed with being involved with a lot of things that I couldn't have scripted anything like some of the things that have happened, you know, like that. It's just events that have taken place and that have molded my life,
right,
so to speak.
Right. That's wonderful. That's great. Thank you so much for sharing all that rich wealth of history with us. You know, some things to laugh about, and hey, that's a part of life, right? But
it is, yeah. And some of these things we take for granted.
Yes.
You know, and we don't really appreciate the moment, whatever it might be, of what's taking place.
Right.
And now that I reflect on some of these things, you didn't really do that, did you?
But yes.
Some of the high-risk things, yeah.
Right, but yes, you did, you know.
And the learning experience, I mean, it was a separate education. In fact, when I graduated from college, I thought, well, I've got all the tools I need now to do. That's only the beginning.
Right.
And I learned so much from the people I worked with at both Marion Power Shovel and Fairfield Engineering, because most of these people were engineers, mechanical, electrical engineers, and a lot of them went on to get their PE degree, their professional engineer degree.
Okay.
And I learned so much from them that I didn't learn, you know, in college. It was an entirely a new experience and another level of education.
Mm-hmm.
It took it to a much higher level. And I would have had to go on and get a master's or a PhD to get some of this information.
I'm sure, yes.
That I was able to receive.
Priceless, wasn't it?
It was.
That's great. And then life experiences on top of all that.
Yeah, you factor that in, and it's like, it's been an interesting trip.
Yes. Well, that's great. That's great.
And I'm surprised that I made it this far.
Amen.
With some of the things that I had done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Some of the risky things.
Yes. But God was with you, you know.
Had to be.
Yes, leading you on. You're still here. In the land of the living, telling of this great history, you know, coming from our city, Marion and County, Marion, Ohio.
I feel like I was really blessed.
Yes.
In many respects.
Oh, yeah. Great family. You come from a great family, wealthy family. Royal in some respects.
Well, yeah, but not much of it filtered down to me.
Right, right.
Let's say hardly any of it, but I still feel fortunate that,
yes.
that I had I had what I needed to survive and get by.
Right.
So I'm very grateful for that.
Well, me too. Because you're sharing all these good things and can be on my show and listeners can hear.
I'm glad I'm still around to share that with
me
you.
Me too. Well, we are out of time, Dan, for today. And thank you so much for coming and sharing your life's history and your family's history with us. And taking us back like Vernon Heights was like all farmland over there. And that's so unimaginable at this time, you know, because it's so developed now. Boulevard and all that.
I remember riding my bicycle around there when it was nothing, you know, just grass, a road, and I thought, you know, it might be cool to live here someday.
It probably would be, yes.
I came very close when my wife and I had a home on Latonia Road. We were in the area there.
Till next time, be blessed. Linda Sims, a voice of a people. Thank you.